Okay, Boker Tov, good morning. Today's daf is daf 56, daf Nun Vav. We left off at the Mishnah on page 55b. We're in the Mishnah in the middle of the page. Today's daf is a very exciting daf. It's a daf about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And there's a few other stories as well, but Hashem will try to get through what we can get through. Okay, Mishnah on 55b. The Mishnah begins, Lo hayasi karikon biyuda baruge milchama. There was no sikarikon. What's sikarikon? Rashi says, goy rotzeach, this non-Jewish murderer. He was not in Yehuda in the time of harugei milchama. What's harugei milchama? So Rashi says, the milchemet Titus, the war of Titus that was in Yerushalayim and in Yehuda, the Gemara is going to explain what it's talking about. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, meharugei milchama ve'elach, but after that time, yesh ba sikarikon, they had this sikarikon, this non-Jewish murderer. So the Gemara says, ketzad, how is this? So, Lakach mitzak sikarikon. If let's say someone, so basically what these non-Jewish murderers would do, he would go to these people, and would steal their land, and then someone, let's say someone would come and buy it from them, and now you get into different difficulties as to who it belongs to. So the Mishnah says, Lakach mitzikarikon. Someone goes to buy it from the land from the sikarikon. V'chazar v'lakach mi'balabayit. And then he went to buy it, the same land, from the actual owner. Mekacho batel. His purchase is considered nullified. That why? Rashi says the damrinan megirah avad. He only did it out of fear. Or another answer: inami hasheni noach li v'arishon kashem menu. The second person is okay. The owner is okay with it. The first person is not okay with it. So meaning he's really the first answer is he's only doing it out of fear, and that's why he's going to the first person. So his purchase is batel. If he went to purchase from the owner, and then afterwards he went from the sikarikon, he went from the goy, then his purchase would be fulfilled. It would be okay. Then the Mishnah says, if let's say, lakach mina ish, someone who goes to purchase the property from a man, a husband, which is a specific type of property, Rashi says, that's miuchedet l'ketubat ishto. It's a set property that is supposed to be given to the ketubah of his wife. And then he went after, bought it from him, he went to the wife to purchase it from her. That purchase is batel. Why? Because the woman, what is she going to say? Rashi says, the amran nachad ruach asiti lebaali. The woman is only saying, it's okay, I'll give it to him. Why? Because I'm bringing happiness to my husband. But that's not really what she wants. It's the ketubah that she's supposed to receive. So therefore we say that that sale is batel. But then it says, Mina Isha, if you went to purchase from the woman first, V'chazar v'lakach mina isha, and then he went to the man, Mekacho kayam, then his purchase would be fulfilled. Zo Mishnah Rishona, this was the initial teaching of the Mishnah. Beit Din shel acharim amru, the later Beit Din came and said, Halokeach misikarikon utena ba'alim revia. If somebody buys it from the sikarikon, yeah, the person who we assume is stealing, then he has to pay the actual owner at least 1/4. Why? Rashi says, "Shi'aru sikarikon muzil gabe riva." We think maybe the sikarikon will probably bring down the price 1/4. So you have to pay that what was brought down to the actual owner itself. So the Gemara says, "Ematai." When is that the case? Bizman she'in biyadan likach. That's only when they don't have what to buy it with. The owner doesn't have what to come and buy it with. Aval yesh biyadan likach hen kodmin lechol adam. But if they do have enough, then they come before everyone else. They have precedence before everyone. Rebbe Hoshiv Beit Din v'nimnu. He established the Beit Din and they voted. Shim shahatav yivnei sikarikon shneim asar chodesh. If the land stayed in the hands of the sikarikon for 12 months, kol hakodem likach zacha. Anyone who comes first to buy it merits it and inherits it. It goes to them. Aval noten ba'alim revia, but you still have to give 1/4 to the owner, to the actual owner. So the Gemara says, in the times of the harugei milchama by Titus, there was no sikarikon. But miharugei milchama ve'elach yeshva sikarikon. But after that time there was. How is that? Meaning, how is it that during that time there wasn't, and afterwards there was, following it? So Amar of Yehuda, no. What it meant to say was lo danu ba'din sikarikon ka'amar. No, we didn't judge it like a case of sikarikon. That what the Rashi says. That the person would acquire it completely. If somebody purchases it from the goy, it's considered having purchased. Right? But then Rashi says, but from that time and on, that from that time and on, then we follow the laws that apply in our Mishnah, because you have to, from that time and on, that's when this actual deen would take place. How do we know? The Gemara says, "Damar Rabbi Asi, shalosh gezerot gazru." There were three gezerot that were decreed. Gezerta kamaita. The first decree was called de lo katil l'kateluhu. When they told the Romans, they said to them, "Anyone who doesn't kill a Jew, you will be killed. If you have an opportunity to kill a Jew, and you don't kill him, you will be put to death." Mitziata, the second decree, called the katil laiti arbe zuzay. Anyone who kills a Jew has to bring 4 zuz. It's a very small amount of payment. Some say it's the other way around. I think the Tosfot Reed says that no, they get paid 4 zuz for killing a Jew. If you kill a Jew, you get paid. And Batraita, and the last gezera was called the katil iktuluhu. Anyone who kills a Jew will be put to death as well. So the Gemara says, Hilkach kamaita mitziata, the first and middle decree, kevan de katle. Since they're killing, agav unseg gamar umakne, because of the onus that they have, they are acquiring off the land. The guy's coming and saying, "Take this land and don't kill me," right? Like Rashi says, "Liktelu hilkach agav unseg ki amarle sakar kazove anicheni." Take this land and leave me. Akneyan nihalei belev shalem. He is acquiring it over to that goy with a complete heart. That's for the first and middle decree. But, Batraita, the latter decree, Amre, Ha'idna Lishkol, what is the Jew saying? Let me give him my land now. He's coming to take my land. I'll give it to him now. L'machar tabana le'bedina, and tomorrow I'm going to take him to court. I'm going to take him to the Beit Din. I'm going to take him and I'm going to bring him into judgment. Because he's not afraid, because he's saying there in the last decree, the Goy is also supposed to be killed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, "Ashrei Adam efachet tamid"? Praiseworthy is a person who is always fearful. Umakshel ibol yipol bera'ah, and he hardens his heart; he will fall in evil. A kamsa bar kamsa chariv Yerushalayim. 3 cases: the case of kamsan bar kamsa, that's what destroyed Yerushalayim. We're going to see the story today. Atar negolav etar negolta chariv tur melka. For this, the rooster and the hen, the story we're going to see about that, it caused destruction to Tur Malka, which was a very populated place. And Ashaka derispak charev Beitar, and this side of a carriage caused the destruction of Beitar. We're going to see these 3 stories. So first, we're going to see the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So what's that story? A Kamsa Bar Kamsa charev Yerushalayim. Because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. We all know this story. It's a beautiful story, not a very happy story. Dahu gavra derachamei Kamsa ubalba. It was a guy who was a very close friend of Kamsa, and he was an enemy of Bar Kamsa. Avat seudata, he made a meal. He made a big seuda. A lot of people, when they say with the story, saying talking about a wedding, but it doesn't necessarily say wedding here. Just made a big meal. Amar la lishmate, he told his servant, "Zil aitili kamsa, Kamsa, go and invite Kamsa for me." So Azal Aitile Bar Kamsa. By accident the guy went and brought Bar Kamsa. These were 2 Jews, they had very similar names. By accident he brought his enemy. Ata Ashkachid Ata Ashkachid Hava Yativ. The owner, who was an enemy of Bar Kamsa, went and saw that Bar Kamsa was sitting at his party. Amarle Mihdi, Ahu Gavra, Valdi Bavada, Ahu Gavrahu. He said, "Hold on." So the person said, "Hey, this guy is the enemy of this guy." So what happened? He got up and said, "My baitacha, what are you doing here? Kum pok, get out of here." So Amar Lehi said to him, "Ho'il va'atai shivkan, since I came here, leave me be. I'm already here. Va'iv nanach demem maida achil nafshatina, and I will pay you what I ate and drink. What I eat and drink, I'll pay you the worth of it." So Amar Lehi, flipping the amud, he says, "Lo." He said, "No, get out of here." So Amar Lehi, ya'iv nanach demem palgad esudatich, I'll give you half of the worth of the meal. Amar Lehi, "Lo." He said, "No." Amar Lehi, ya'iv nanach demem kula esudatich, I'll give you the worth of the whole meal. I don't want to be embarrassed. Amar Lehi, "Lo." He said, "No." Naktev yadev okmev afkei. He took him by his hands and he threw him out. Amar. So the guy Bar Kamsa said, "Ho'il v'havu yadvei rabbanan v'lo machu bei." Since the rabbis were there and they didn't rebuke, they didn't stop him. Shema minak anichalehu. It must be that they're okay with it. Ezil echul bu kurtza v'malka. So I'm going to go and speak chas v'shalom malshin against the Jewish people. So he went, Azal Amar Lehi, the Kesari went to the Caesar. Meradubach Yehudai. He said, "The Jews rebelled against you." Amarle mi yemar, how do you know? Amarle shadar u korbana, send them a korban. Chazid ime karvinan le, see if they sacrifice it. Azal shadar biyade igla tilta, they sent a very, very nice, beautiful animal. Bahade de ka'ate shadar be mumav in nirse fatayim. While he was, Bar Kamsa was bringing the animal, he put a blemish in the, I think it's the upper lip. He put a blemish in the upper lip. Some say bedukin shabayin, some say it was a cataract of the eye. Why is it so important in these places? Duchta de ledidan hava muma, or ledidu lav mumahu. It's a place where it's a blemish for us, for the korban, but it's not necessarily, they wouldn't view it as a blemish. So now he brought a blemish in it. Savur Rabbanan the Karuvim Mishum Shalom Malchu. When he brought it to the rabbis, they said maybe we should sacrifice it just to keep shalom with the Caesar, with the government, with the king. So Amar Lehum Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas, Rabbi Zechariah spoke. He said Yomeru Baalei Mumin Karavin Lagavim Mizbeach. He says no, people are going to say that you're allowed to blemish animals. You're allowed to sacrifice blemished animals. Savur Lamichtelei. So they thought maybe let's kill it. Delo Lezil Veleima. So that Bar Kamsa will not go and tell them. Rabbi Zechariah again said, Yomeru metil mum bekodashim yahareg. People are going to come and say that if somebody puts a blemish in a kodesh, in a kodashim, then you kill the animal. But that's not what you're supposed to do. So we're going to go against the deen also. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Anavtanuto shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas, echrivat beitenu, usarvat echelenu, ikzitanu me'aretzenu. The humility of Rabbi Zechariah, that he said not to do that, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and burnt down the Heichal and put us all into Galut.
Is he saying he disagreed with him that he shouldn't have done it?
Okay, so it's a good question. The question is, why? First of all, why was he wrong, Rabbi Zechariah? It sounds like he was right. You're not allowed to do that, number one. Number two, why does it say his humility is what caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? If it's a mistake, say it's his mistake that caused destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. But I think the Ben Yehoyada discusses this, and also the Chatam Sofer, if I'm not mistaken, discusses that as well. I didn't get a chance to look inside, but I think just outside, it wasn't necessarily that Mi'ikaradin, according to the letter of the law, there's a mistake. But sometimes we will necessarily have to break laws in order to make shalom. Like we've seen many times throughout Shas, that Mishanim Mipnei HaShalom. For example, you're allowed to lie to keep shalom bayit. Right? So again, I don't know necessarily halachically to the halachic parameters. I don't think necessarily it was a mistake halachically to the halachic parameters, but in the essence of what it caused, it's saying because he was down, so meaning he was keeping the law to such an extent, then that was caused the destruction of Beit Mikdash. Shadari Lavayu and Neron Kesai sent to the Caesar Neron. He sent him to come. Kikaate Shadag Yiran Mizrach Atan Nefal BiYerushalayim. He shot an arrow to the east. It fell in Yerushalayim. The Ma'arav Atan Nefal BiYerushalayim. To the west, fell in Yerushalayim. La Arba Ruchot Hashemayim Atan Nefal BiYerushalayim. He shot arrows to all different directions, all four directions, and it fell into Yerushalayim. Amarle Yelininuka. He told the child, Pesokli Pesukayich. Read for me the pasuk you're reading. Amarle Venatati Enigmati BeEdom BiYad Ami Yisrael. I will take revenge. With Edom, biyad am Israel, with the hand of my nation Israel. What does that mean? Amar kuchav richu ba'el charuve beitei. He said Hashem wants to destroy the house that he lives in, his own Beit HaMikdash. Uba'el chapure yadei be'ahu gavra. And he said he wants to wipe his hands with me, with this Caesar Nero. So arak ve'azil v'gayer. He ran away and he went and converted. Unafach minei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir came out of him. He got so scared, he went and converted, and Rabbi Meir came from him.
This was a non-Jewish guy.
Right, right.
Standing there, all of a sudden turned around and asked a Jewish kid, said, what are you learning today?
Yeah, he wanted to see, is there a sign that the Beit HaMikdash was supposed to be destroyed, because all of his arrows were falling into Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Shadrei Lavayu Aspasianus Kesari. He sent to Aspasianus, the Caesar. Ata Tsar Alat Lat Shanei. He went and caused suffering to the Yerushalayim, to the Jewish people for 3 years. Havuba Hanutlata Atire, there were these three wealthy people. Nakdimon ben Gurion, Uben Kalaba Sabua, Uben Tzitzit HaKeset, these three people. Why were they called that? Nakdimon ben Gurion, Shin Nakeda Lochama Ba'avuro. He held the sun, he stopped the sun, he had to pay a loan, and if the day would have passed, his day of paying the loan would have passed. So the sun stayed for him in the spot so that he was able to pay the loan in his time. Ben Kalba Savua, Shekola Nichnas LeBeito Keshu Ra'ev KeKelev Yotzek Shu Savea. Anyone who goes into his house like he was starving like a dog would leave very satisfied. Ben Tzitzit HaKeset, Shaidat Tzitzitot Nigered Agvei Kisatot. His tzitzit were always dragging on cushions. Yigdamri, some say Shaita Kistom Mutele Ben Gdolei Romi. No, his cushion was sitting amongst the great people of Rome. He was so wealthy, he was so up there. Chad Amar Lehu, Anna Zayin Nalu B'Chitev Sare. One said to the other, "I'm going to support everyone with wheat and barley." Mechad Amar Lehu B'Chamra U'Malcha U'Mishcha. One said, "No, I will support them with wine, with salt, with oils, with all different types of things." He said, "I have these things." Mechad Amar Lehu B'Tzive. One said, "No, I will support them with wood." V'Shabbechu Rabbanan D'Tzive. And the one who had wood, he was the one that was praised. So the Rav Chisda, kol aklidei hava masada shamei bar min detive. Rav Chisda had a lot of keys to a bunch of his storage houses. One key he wouldn't give to his servant, and that was a key to his wood. It was a storehouse of wood. That was a very precious storehouse for him. That if you have a storehouse filled with wheat that you want to bake all of that wheat to make it into bread, you would need 60 storehouses it's worth 60 storehouses of wood. Meaning that wood is a very, very precious thing. That's what he's trying to say. They had enough to be able to support the Jewish people for 21 years. There were these biryonim. What are biryonim? Biryonis are people who were very empty, and they always wanted to. They were very violent type of people. They always wanted to go to war. So these people were amongst them. Amru lehu rabbanan. The rabbi said to them, "Nipuk ben avich lama ba'adayu. Let's go make a peace with the Romans." Lo shavkinu. They said, "No way." Amru lehu nipuk ben avich krava ba'adayu. They said, "Let's go and make war with them." Amru lehu rabbanan. Lo mishtaim elta. No way. So what did these biryonim do? These violent people did? They went and burnt down all the storehouse storages of all the wheat and barley, and there was a famine. They had 21 years worth to be able to support them. Marta bat Baitus atirta de Yerushalayim avia. There was a woman named Marta. She was very wealthy in Yerushalayim. Shardel shluchav amrale. She said to her servant. See, all these wealthy people had these servants. It was very interesting. Zil aitili smida. Go and bring me this fine flour so I can eat something. As Ali's deban. So when the servant went out to find food, imagine you send your assistant, go and bring me lunch. Okay, she goes out to bring you lunch. She comes back and says, the place that you wanted from was sold out. They were closed. Says, okay. Ata amarla, he came and told her, smida leka chivarta ika. They didn't have fine flour. They had this different type of flour, this white bread. It wasn't as good. A different store is open. So amra le, zil aitili. Okay, go and bring me from that store. I'm hungry. Ata azal is deban. Ata ba'amarla, when the servant went, he saw again, the food was sold out, it was no more. So he came back and told her, chivarta leka gushkeraika. He said, there's no more white bread, there's coarse bread. It's not as good. So amrale, she said to him, okay, go out and bring me. Zil aitili, just bring me some lunch. Imagine, you have an assistant, you tell him, get me some lunch, they keep coming back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's like 3 PM already, you want lunch. Ada azal is devan. He came back, it was sold. When he went out, it was sold again. Ata ba'amarla, he came and told her, Gushkara leka, kimcha desareika. There was no more coarse bread. Now there's only barley. There's barley flour. What do you want? So amrale, she said to him, Zil aitili, go and bring it for me. Ada azal is deban. When he went out again, it was already sold. Imagine, the store closed. Haba shalifa misana. So what happened, Marta Baitu, she was so wealthy, she just wanted a little lunch. She went outside without shoes. She's like, let me go find myself food myself. So Amra, I don't need my assistant. I'm going to go find it myself. She went out to find the food. She went and she stepped on a piece of dung, like animal excrement, and it made her so nauseous, and she died on the spot. She died from. She was such a prestigious woman. It's talking about the story because we were talking about the three wealthy men of Yerushalayim. It's talking about the destruction of Yerushalayim. Then it got to the three wealthy men who were taking care of Yerushalayim, and it's talking about she was also a very wealthy woman in Yerushalayim.
And what's
Marta.
Okay, so what's it going to say? Kareya le Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai haraka becha v'ha'anuga shelo nista kafragla. It says the one who was so gentle, the one who was so like she never stepped with her bare feet on the ground. She was someone who's always very spoiled, never steps onto the ground barefoot. Then when they step on it and they step on something that's dirty, all of a sudden they get nauseous. Right? It's okay to be a little bit, you get yourself a little bit involved in things so that you're not always very spoiled, so that you're used to, you know, the dirtiness of this world, because everyone, as it goes on, you get dirty. Not to say that you should be dirty. That's not what it's saying. Ikeda Amri, some say, no, grogarod Rabbi Tzadok achala. She ate the figs of Rabbi Tzadok. And she got nauseous and she died. Rabbi Tzadok would sat in fasts for 40 years so that Yerushalayim would not be destroyed. When you would eat something, you would be able to see it go down his throat from the outside. That's how clean his skin was. When his fast would end, they would bring him these figs. He would suck out the juice from the figs and he'd throw the figs. Whenever this Marta Baitus was dying, This is the message. She took all of her money, all of her gold and silver. She was the wealthiest woman. She took all of her money and threw it into the streets. What did she say? Amra, what do I need all of this for? What is it all for? That's why the Pasuk says that they're going to throw all their money out. What's the point of that story? I think the point of the story is trying to teach you that if you think that your wealth is only to enjoy the enjoyments of this world and just to live on a prestigious level and never actually come to the real purpose of what Hashem is giving you the wealth for, you'll come to the realization that what's the purpose of all this money at the end of your life? The whole purpose of the money is to use it to bring yourself closer to Hashem, to bring the people around you, to help the people around you, to give charity. That's the point of the money. Abba Sikra Resh Biryonei Yerushalayim. Abba Sikra was the head of the Biryones, the violent people in Yerushalayim. Bar Achatei der Ban Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shalach le tam betzina legabai. He said to this Abba Sikra, come to me in private. What was happening here was the Biryonim were not allowing the Jewish people, anyone, to leave the city. And the Romans were not going to be able to get in. So this Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was stuck and they were in a famine. Ata amar le, he said to him, he came and Rabbi Yochanan said to him, "Ad emat avditu hachi vakatlitu le alma bekafna." How long are you going to continue doing this and everyone is going to die from starvation? Amar le, mai yavid, what should I do? If I say anything, it's like he's stuck in a situation where if I say anything, they're going to kill me. Di'i amena lehumidi katluli, they're going to kill me if I say anything. Amar le, he said to him, chazili takanta lididi de epok, efshar dehavet salah purta. Let me find a way for me to be able to get out of the city. I'll go and speak to the Romans and maybe we can have some savior, some salvation. So Amar le, nekot nafshak bekitzire, listen to this story. He said to him, make yourself seem like you're sick. Veleti kule alma vele shelubach, and everyone will come around you to, you know, to ask what's going on and pray for you and you know, ask for your well being. Vaiti midi sarya veagne begabach, and place something very smelly next to you. Velemur denach nafshach, and everyone's going to say that you died. Veli alu bach talmidach, and your students will carry you out. Velole ulbach inishacharina, and nobody else will carry you out. Why? Nobody, don't let anyone else carry you out. Because a live body is much lighter than a dead body. A dead body, it doesn't hold up its weight anymore. So all of the weight is falling down. It's much heavier. Everyone knows that the live body is lighter than the dead body. So he's pretending to be dead to get out of the city. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Avid hachi did this. Nichnas bo Rabbi Elazar mitzad echad, Rabbi Yoshua mitzad acher. One side came Rabbi Elazar's student, one side Rabbi Yoshua. They came to take him out. Kimato lepicha ba'alu mitkerein. They got to the entrance to get out of the city. And these biryonim said, okay, he's really dead. Let's spear through the coffin. Let's see if he's really dead. So what did they say? He said to them, no, amar lehu, yomru rabban dakeru. You're going to let the Romans come and say, look, the Jewish people killed the rabbi. Don't do that. So ba'olamit chafei. So they said, let's at least like shove him and let's see if he makes a sound, if he's alive. Amarlu yomru rabban dachafu. They're gonna say you're pushing your rabbi. You're shoving your rabbi. So patachu le bavav nafak. So they allowed him to leave. They allowed them to take him out of the entrance. Kimat elatim. When Rabbi Yochanan arrived at the Caesar, at the king, the Roman king, Amar shlama lach malka, shlama lach malka. He said, peace be upon you, the king. Peace be upon you. Amar le michayvat tere ketala. So the king told him, you're liable to two deaths. Why? Chada de la malkaana, vikakari de malka. I'm not a king and you're calling me a king. Vitu, and not only that, im malkaana, if I'm a king, ad haidna amailu atait lahak legabai. If I'm a king, why haven't you come here to see me until now? Why have you waited until now? So Amar Le, he responded to him, de kamar de la malkaana, that what you said that you're not a king, iberam malkaat. You, melech atid, Rashi says, you are going to become a king. Says even though you're not a king now, in the future you will be. De'il lav malkad, if you're not going to be a king, lomim sera Yerushalayim biyadach. If you're not a king, then Hashem will not let Yerushalayim fall into your hands. Dechtiv as a pasuk says, va'levanon be'adir yipol, it will fall into adir. Ve'en adir ela melech, adir is talking about a king. Dechtiv haya adiro mimenu. Ve'en levanon ela beit hamikdash. Levanon is talking about the beit hamikdash. Sheneemar as a pasuk says, ha'har atov hazeh va'levanon. This great mountain. And that which you said, if you're a king, you said, if I'm a king, why didn't you come to see me until now? They didn't let us leave, the biryonim, the violent people wouldn't let us leave the city. So the Caesar told him, if let's say you had a barrel of honey, and a snake, a dangerous snake, was wrapped around it. Would you not break the barrel for the snake to be able to survive around the snake? Meaning what? Rashi says, כרוך עליה דבוק ולהות אחריה, אם שוברים את החבית, כדי שיצא שילך לו הדרקון. So the snake will go. כך היה לכם להשחית חומת העיר. You should have broke down the walls of Yerushalayim, ושרפה באש to burn it down, כדי להשליך אותן ביריונים מתוכה. To be able to get rid of these ביריונים, these dangerous people who weren't allowing us to come in. Meaning you should have broke down your own walls to allow the Romans to come in, to get out of this famine. What did he say? Ishtik. He didn't have what to say. He was silent. He said, you're right. 100% you're right. I should have done that. I mean, he should have even broken down the own walls to be able to let the Romans come in so that they could have been able to at least get out of this type of famine. Okay, we'll stop there for today. We'll just do a quick 1 minute recap. We started by saying in the Mishnah that this Sikarikon, there was no din of the Sikarikon during the time of the Harugei Malchut with Titus. Only afterwards did that din actually take place. Then, as we got to the Amud Aleph, we talked about the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. That we said this was the story that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, from this story the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash happened. That Bar Kamsa was invited by accident and the rabbis didn't fight for him. So therefore he went and tattletale. And then we got into the story of a few different wealthy people. One of them was including Martha Bat Baitus. Which she was a very, very elegant woman who never really went out. She had her servant who was going to get her food and he couldn't find her food. And then she went out herself. She stepped on something disgusting and she died as a result. And the final story was this Abba Sikra, which was the head of the Biryonim, the violent people. And he wasn't, they wouldn't allow the gates to be open. And there was a famine. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai pretended to be dead to be able to get out of the city. He went and spoke to the king, the Roman king, to be able to. And the Roman king told him, he said, why didn't you break down the walls, burn the walls down so that we could have came in and you would have gotten rid of these biryonim? He said, yeah, you're right. I didn't have an answer for that. Amen.